Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Syke.
Well, good morning.
Well,
this is Don Creech.
Oh, there we go. And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Yeah, it's always fun to have last-minute technical issues.
I tell you.
You know, on your toes.
That's it. You know, you change time slots, and all of a sudden, what's going on? Nothing works anymore. It's always exciting, isn't it?
Well, that's why we have producers in there that solve all sorts of problems.
That's it. It's on the way.
Anyway,
solutions on the way.
Investor Resources. Yeah. This is a live call-in show, so if you want to talk to us about the market, the economy, or your portfolio, or a hot tip that that you received from a friend, a website, a TV show, or your friendly neighborhood financial advisor that's down there next to Walgreens. Give us a call, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. So the lines are open. Just pick up your phone and call. We will be glad to talk with you and render an opinion, most likely.
Best we can, yeah.
So next weekend we have work to do, Perry, this next week, because we have to do another webinar.
Indeed. Coming up.
Because our show starts earlier, the webinar starts at 8:30 instead of 9. So you have to set your alarm a little earlier. But if you haven't registered yet, you can do so at IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. Well, one of the major changes in investor attitude has been a shift in assumptions that the risk of recession has ended and we aren't going to have one anymore.
Well, it's amazing how fast that happens.
Yeah. So it made me recall a lot the famous line from Hamlet, to be or not to be.
There we go.
Question.
Yep.
Recession or not. So there is a new consensus among investors, which have been raising prices off the lower end of the market, that recession is no longer inevitable. In fact, we might even be able to make it without a soft landing, but we'll just stay afloat forever. But soft landing even looks like it's dissipating, that we aren't going to need to do that, that things are just picking up. And actually, there is some good news here.
Yep.
I mean, I'm doing my end-of-week risk-on, risk-off analysis, and one of the things that has really reversed is that this last year, investors have been focused on defensive issues. So those are consumer staples. I mean, who doesn't need to buy toilet paper, soap, and toothpaste all year long? I mean, those are staples.
Yep, got to have it.
Healthcare, you got an aging population that needs to show up at the doctor's office more often, or at least the prescription counter. So we have healthcare, we have dividends. All of these are, and utilities, because nobody wants to turn their power off, so utilities keep collecting money during good and bad times. But the shift that's happened in the last 2.5 weeks has been the things we want instead of the things we need are taking precedent among consumers. Discretionary spending is back in the lead for the last couple of weeks. And if that's the case and it holds, then this change in assumptions about whether or not we have a recession is sustainable.
Absolutely.
Seeing the data, I mean, I had to go in and create some new charts. what you start to say, Barry.
I was going to say, it's absolutely true if it's sustainable. It's really going to depend a whole lot on the next set of numbers that comes out. Is inflation really under control? That's one of the big things. It looks like the narrative has shifted from inflation's out of control to, hey, you know what? Inflation is coming down, and the Fed may have already done enough. And the big question is, does the Fed believe that? And so if the Fed comes out and says, okay, we're gonna taper our interest rate increase again, you know, that 25 basis points is pretty well baked in for the next Fed meeting. If they come in at 25, that's gonna kind of let everybody know, yeah, we think you're right too. We think inflation is probably well on its way to being fine now, and so it's going to be we're gonna be able to moderate these interest rates. And if inflation continues to drop and the Fed tapers off the increases they're still making, that's a signal to everyone else in the market that, hey, you know what? We're way past the worst of this, and we're much closer to the end of this tightening cycle than we are to the beginning. And that's good news for everybody, but especially it's good news for the equity side. It means we're probably going to extend this rally, and we may end up with new highs later in the year. There are still people that are saying, you know, there's going to be rate cuts in 2023. I said last week on the show, I'm not in the rate cut camp. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to have that kind of turnaround. But it does. Inflation is moderating across the board, and so whether the Fed gets credit for that or not, we don't really care. It's just, it's happening, and that's good for equities.
Yeah, so the inflation data is much different when you look at it month over month, which is what the driver was this last week in the market, compared to the year over year data, which is more likely to be the concern that the Fed has. But there is some softening. Question is it sustainable? Is the trend sustainable when
that's it?
Employment remains so strong. The Fed is looking for employment to weaken. Therefore, demand would weaken because people have less income, and the lower demand is what will support a continuing drop in the inflation numbers. But that begs the argument of, did the Fed cause inflation, or was it irresponsible spending by governments that just dumped piles and piles of tinder on top of a smoldering fire and
right.
lit inflation up into a bonfire?
Well, when you think about the Fed kept rates artificially low for a decade, artificially low for over a decade, and there was no inflation. So if low rates didn't cause it, I'm not sure high rates are fixing it. So it's just a matter of, the supply chain got completely disrupted. Like you said, Don, the Fed dumped an unprecedented amount of cash on the economy. And all of a sudden, with no supply because the supply chain's broken and everybody has money, well, that causes inflation. That's going to moderate pretty quickly, no matter what the Fed does. And I think that's what's going on right now. And like I said, it really doesn't matter why inflation seems to be moderating. It's a good thing that it is.
Well, that's true, because long-term is quite damaging.
Yeah.
So wage growth has slowed. It hasn't stopped. People are still getting raises,
right,
as evidenced by Wall Street raising minimum wage from $12 to $14 across the board. I mean, government, many levels of government have mandated $15 because minimum wage wasn't high enough. But the marketplace is actually taking care of that, and government intervention messes up normal negotiations between employer and employee, and that messes up the market overall. And if you keep raising the minimum wage, you're going to build in an inflationary factor that does not go away unless you have
Correct.
A deep recession. And even then, if it's mandated, employers, what they have to do is they have to just cut people off and eventually close their business. Small businesses, you know, big businesses survive as long as they can still borrow money. And then the other issue that the Fed is going to have to resolve is whether they're going to stay with the 2% target inflation, or there has been discussion, certainly in the last quarter, maybe
right.
they'll tolerate a 3% or 4% floor, which is really devastating financially for the federal budget. And for households, my goodness, a 4% inflation compounds at a really rapid rate.
It really does. And the Fed doesn't have to change their target. They can say their target's still 2%, but if they begin to taper off, you know, at 3%, they've got time to let that run down to 2.
So one of the next thing that happens this next week is the Fed is going to, this week or next week, 2 weeks out, we have the Fed saying what they're going to do with the next interest rate hike, which they have said is going to be 50 basis points. But a couple of the regional presidents have been saying, well, we may not need to do that much. And that gave investors hope that things were getting better and the Fed would be more tolerant about hiking rates. We're going to find out fairly soon. And if they only raise a quarter of a point, then or they raise a half a point and make very positive statements going forward, then we should see a massive rally in equities and bonds. And bonds have been very, very cheaply priced until just recently.
Right. And the bad news is you've got to be ready for the other side of that. You know, Don, you've got to be ready for the other side. If they come out with a half a percent raise and say, hey, we're keeping rates high until we hit 2%, oof, the market is definitely going to react quite negatively to that. And so it could go the other way just as easy. So the Fed is front and center right now. What they say next, what they do next is going to be very important for the direction of the market.
That's absolutely correct. And the hope right now is that Mr. Powell is paying attention to the Bank of Canada, which only raised rates a quarter point and said they are through. They don't expect any more hikes. And if that's the case, then the next thing would be to start lowering rates sometime later in the year. Bank of Canada has been leading the Fed in all these rate hikes. So maybe they talk to one another. You know, that's a possibility.
It's possible.
That's a probability.
Yep.
Yeah. Why don't we go ahead and take a break?
We don't get to know. Yeah, we'll go ahead. We're up against our first break of the morning here. I'd like to remind everyone that we have our next market update webinar set for next Saturday. It's February 4th, 8:30 a.m. And you can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That is IRIradio.com. Just head to the webinar page and give that registration link a click. You're going to get a link back, and next Saturday, just click that link before 8:30 in the morning, and you'll be live online with us. You'll be able to see all the charts that we're always talking about, and we're going to give you a good idea of what we think's going on in the economy, what's going on in the markets, exactly what we're doing with client portfolios. And then we always have plenty of time for all of your questions. We always get great questions from the people that log in on the webinar, and we work through them all. So if you have questions about the market, the economy, if you have questions about an individual security, if you're wondering if you should still own it or not, or if you're thinking about adding something, it's a great time to get a second opinion. We'll put our charts up for you, let you see what we see in that security, and give you a little clarity, hopefully, about what's going on out there. Again, you can register for that at IRIradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this morning, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about, again, same stuff, investing, the markets, or individual securities. Give us a call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So
well, that's what everybody wants to know, is should we stay or should we go? And the market actually right now is pretty confused. That the market has stopped making sense. So we had this data that was released on Thursday, and it reinforced something that many were actually not too surprised about. The economy grew faster than forecast coming into the end of the year. GDP was 2.9 plus, a positive 2.9 annualized in the last quarter after a better than 3% gain in the third quarter. We're thinking, well, you know, there's growth. That's, that partly explains the demand for labor that businesses is doing. They're not laying people off. In fact, they're afraid to lay people off for fear they won't be able to get somebody else to come back in. And then the personal consumption expenditure rate, inflation rate, decelerated by more than a percentage point. So all that stuff's good. And it made people believe the Fed doesn't have a backbone and they won't raise rates by 0.5%.
Correct.
So we've had a rally. Actually, out of the last 10 market days, the S&P 500 has closed 7 times above its 200-day moving average, which is the traditional bull market indicator. If you're above 200, that's good. Things are growing. If you're below, that's a bear market. Not good. So that's kind of where we are. And real rates, which is interest rates after inflation, they're positive again. You actually have net earnings in an interest-bearing account because of the higher rate and the falling inflation rate. So there's stuff to kind of cheer about. But when is the bad news going to show up? Well, that's bad news. If the bad news bearer is going to be Jay Powell, Mr. Powell, when he tells us what happens at the next Fed meeting, that's time to fish or cut bait. We're either going to get the 50 basis points or they're going to say, no, we think we've probably done enough. And as you said just before we went into the break, Barry, we don't know which way it's going to go. So if you're all in and you're right, you're going to be a really happy camper. If you're all in and you're wrong, not so much.
It's not going to be fun. No, it's not. The market's not going to react well to that at all if they raise rates again or talk really hawkish again. So,
one of the other things that really makes no sense is in the bond market. In the yield curve is inverted. It could be invented too, but it's called it's inverted. That's the proper term. And by the way, you're listening to the Investor Resources radio show. If you want to call us, the lines are open at 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. So an inverted yield curve, the benchmark is the 10-year Treasury, and that interest rate should be higher than the 2-year or the 3-year, but it isn't. So those shorter term rates are higher, and whenever that has happened in the past several decades, that means a recession is following. So who's right here? The bond market, from a yield curve standpoint, says recession's coming. Investors are saying, no, it's not. The premium or the extra cost that or the extra charge that a bank will charge a borrower to offset what they deem to be default risk. Now, that's the spread between quality credit and not so good credit.
Right.
And that number has not expanded to indicate a high degree of default. So right now, lenders are still saying, things are pretty good. And big companies, even small firms with good credit, they can still borrow relatively reasonable interest rates. When interest rates in bad times are leading up to, well, in bad times, interest rates get really out of whack. If they look at this and say, I don't think you're going to make it. So, one, I won't loan you the money. And if I was going to loan you the money, I mean, it would be a bleeding rate. I mean, you would not want to pay it. Oh, you do, huh? Maybe I'm not charging enough.
Come on in then.
We'll jack it up. Yeah, come on in. We'll jack it up a couple more points and see how you take that. And sometimes businesses are desperate enough that they do that. Now, this last year, we had meme investing in companies like AMC on the verge of bankruptcy. And the online discussion groups, the social
sure, the
media
Reddit guys.
Groups.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they got on board on AMC and said, look at all the shorts here. We should put those guys out of business. And a group of people ran the stock price up. And AMC was able to sell a whole bunch of stock.
They were fine with that.
They didn't have to raise. They didn't have to go borrow money at outrageous rates, or even if they could get it, because they're knocking on the bankruptcy court door. Bed Bath & Beyond is kind of in that situation right now. They have said that they have insufficient cash to make it through the quarter. That's not a good sign. There
Never.
Are some other signs like that in the economy. So we don't know who's going to win right now. But given even this recent round of good news from last week, the yield curve inversion has hardly moved. The serious bond investors haven't changed their mind about what lies ahead.
They've chosen their path. And one of the things that's made this so hard is the past 2 years have been so bizarre. They've been so tortured as far as the data goes because of, you know, things like the COVID lockdowns, because of trillions of dollars of stimulus, you know, dropped on the economy. All of these numbers we're looking at now is like, well, these don't work quite right. Nothing's operating quite the same as it has. And it's because the data is coming out of such a bizarre, tortured area of time here that no one knows if the numbers right now mean what they used to mean or not, which is why we're so much into, you know, we call it headline trading. Every headline moves the market these days, instead of looking at the underlying numbers and saying, well, what do the numbers say? And right now, nobody trusts the numbers. Everything's been so out of whack that it's hard to say, well, historically, this is what's gone on. It's like, yeah, well, historically, the last 2 years have never happened before. So 2 years in a row where just bizarre things were going on globally in the economy, it makes it very difficult to say, well, here's the accurate reading of what's going on. And actually, the Fed raising rates back up to more normal levels is a really good thing for market valuations and for if you're looking at asset allocations. The correlations in the market now have a chance to come back to something more normal, because they've been out of whack for a while now. And it's been really tough to get a feel for what's going on out there, because it's just been manipulated so much by our friends in the government.
So our portfolios right now still maintain a partially defensive posture. And then we own equities, but we also own some cash. And it varies from portfolio to portfolio. But you have to, right now, we believe you have to be prepared for either one of these events.
Right.
The good news is supported by new data, or it is not. And there's no way to know which that is going to be. The Philadelphia Fed started a survey of economists, major economists and investors back in 1969. And that survey recording the probability of a decline in real GDP, gross domestic product. So are we going to have a recession? That's basically where the survey is going. Within the next 4 quarters, so by the end of the year. Now, there have been a lot of bad news and recessions since 1969. Just think
right.
about it. And I'm looking at a graph, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 recessions since then. The angst over the probability of a recession this year is higher than it has ever been since 1969. So the professionals, probably reflected in the bond market yield curve not turning around, is because the professionals just don't buy this short-term good news. Justifies maintaining some defensive posture. Now, where do you do that? Well, one of the things that normally you would do would be in staples, consumer staples and utilities. And frankly, those two are not working for you, and they haven't been for a brief period of time. But the trend there is is not optimistic just yet.
Right.
So, I don't know. We
there you we go. There's the truth right there. I week. Don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's why I spent a lot of time on the weekend trying to figure out risk on, risk off. Should we be in or should we be out? Should I stay or should I go? That was the bump
That's
music
it.
Coming into this segment.
And we are right
it
at
is
that cusp.
Always,
yep.
It's always a probability issue because nobody knows the future. Now, what happens with most investors is they go through a bad spell and say, well, that process doesn't work. Let's go find a new advisor. Who in this industry, 85 to 90% of the time, is going to change what you own, but the process will be the same. It'll be based on a 60 stock, 40% bond portfolio model, and they'll just tweak it. We watched, we've been in the industry a long time, and we've watched that persistently. Well, I'm going to change from my broker at Fidelity to my broker at Edward Jones to my broker at Dean Witter. I guess they're not around anymore. To my broker at Merrill Lynch. But they're all using the 60-40 model because that's the industry standard. But they change the mutual fund or the portfolio of stocks. They tweak them a little bit, but you get the same thing. And there's a mismatch between short-term feedback and long-term goals. Investors in this market are saying, I'm conservative. You never should have put me in that investment. Now, a year ago, they were saying, hey, we're too conservative. We're not making enough money. We go back into the summer of 2021, and the stocks are rising, and I don't own enough stocks. What do you have me in bonds for? They aren't doing me any good. Well, right now, this last year, even bonds weren't working. So what are we doing? I mean,
and that's a constant. 60, 40 that's portfolio. A constant cycle. It never changes. It continues to happen with investors' reaction to whatever's going on in the market. And Don, let's keep talking about that when we get back from our break. We're at the bottom of the hour. I'd like to remind everyone we have a weekly email newsletter that we can review. If you'd like to start receiving that, you need to send us an email. Send that email to help@irradio.com. That is help@irradio.com. Just put week in review in the subject line, and we need your first and last name in the body of the email to get you set up in the system, and you'll start receiving that on Monday. It goes out most Mondays. It's a real good look at what's going on in the world of finance this week. It gives you a pretty good idea of what's really important out there, things you need to pay attention to, and maybe even more importantly, it'll let you know this stuff they're talking about all week long really doesn't matter. It's something you can ignore, and learning to ignore the noise is a big part of being able to keep your head clear for investing. So again, if you'd like to start receiving that, send us an email at help@irradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this morning, we've got plenty of time to get your call on the board. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go there. What are you going to give for? I've a $600 down here now, 10 and now, 25 and now, 35 and now, 50 now, 60, will you give me 60 now, 75, 75, another $85 on the bottom there.
Well, it's important to remember that what we're dealing with is an auction market. There are still a few guys actually on the New York Stock Exchange floor, but most of the trading is done by computers between exchanges, between brokers, unless you're trading before the market opens, in which case your broker is probably handling that trade themselves. But other than that, it's the computers are looking for the buyer and the seller match, which is required in order to make a transaction happen. And a lot of the selling that's happened this year, where we've had these down days in the market, has not been what was causing it last year. Last year, we had a lot of people selling. and you see the market drop and you think, oh man, people are getting really scared. By the way, you're listening to the Investor Resources radio show. It's call in. If you want to talk to us, it's 800-465-8770. But when we've had these big down days with the indexes, it's basically because the vast majority of retail investors that were in the market in the last decade, and certainly in 2020, the last half of 2020 and 2021, they're gone. They've lost so much money this last year, they're discouraged. Why would I ever do that again? I was speaking with a business owner a couple of weeks ago, and he knows I'm an investment manager, and he always wants to talk about the market. He says, yeah, well, I did that, and I lost a lot of money, and I said I would never buy another stock, never be back in the market again. Well, that's okay, that's a decision, but it's based on irrational reasoning. But what we're seeing right now is that when we look at the broad market, there are clear signs that businesses are getting better. Now, it's not a straight line. So the next couple of quarters, we could see this bounce around. But the indexes do not represent the market. We have primarily the media focuses on the Dow Jones Industrials. Then we look at the S&P and the NASDAQ. And over the last decade, the NASDAQ was so far ahead of the other two indexes because of the concentration of a half a dozen large cap tech stocks. The other indexes managed by different entities said, this is going to hurt us. We'd better find some justification, let's call it rationalization, to put some technology in our index. And so what did they do? They copied the big names out of the NASDAQ 100. So now when the market goes up, as a general rule of thumb, they're all going to go up or down together because the major components are the same. They no longer give us a real representation of different segments of the market. That is work you have to do on your own or go buy more data. Just relying on the major indices today is no longer a good rule of thumb about what's happening in the market.
It's really true.
And inside each sector, there are industry groups, and they can be operating totally differently than the index would have you believe.
And there's no way to know that without looking. You have to go look at the underlying data. You have to go look at what else is going on outside of just the returns on the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P 500 to see what's going on in those composite securities. What's actually happening just below the surface? Because like you said, Don, they've become so in lockstep because they all own the same thing, because for so long you had to own those large cap tech holdings. You had to have them. That's where all the growth was coming from. And now that everything's moving together, well, this year it's kind of a huge pullback, and that's continuing into this year so far. And so that's really hurting the indexes. But if you're even just looking at an equal weighted index, an S&P 500, where every security in there is equal weighted, it's been doing better. Been doing better than the S&P 500 that you see on the news every day, because those other 450 securities out of the top 50, they're doing better than the top end. The top end's not doing well. The rest of them in some places are. And that's why it's important to look and not get stuck with that pie chart that only looks at one aspect and keeps your asset allocation constant no matter what. It's not a good time to be in that kind of a portfolio. And that's where most people are. And that's why we don't do that.
So one of the normal reactions is the market is manipulated.
Yes.
Well, yes, it is, matter of fact. And so why and who and how and what happens? Well, in 2018, the, let's call it the dark pools, the group of the dark pools. And who are they? Well, those are the big mutual funds and big pension plans. They don't trade on the New York Exchange or the NASDAQ. They have alternative trading systems and platforms, ATPs. So because they're trading would drive markets, and people would jump on and follow, and it would create aberrations. So they have authority on these other platforms. But in 2018, they're looking at the losses that occurred in the last big bear market at that time, which had been the 2008-09, and saying, you know, those losses really scared people, and it's bad for our business because people liquidate and take their money out. We don't get to manage it, and then they don't know when to get back in, and they don't have enough money when they retire. What can we do to reduce the anxiety of the average investor? And so they developed a safety protocol that it still allows for the market to go down 20%. To get to bear market levels. But once it gets there, then this protocol steps in and they use their own money to start buying stocks that make the indexes go up. They only need to buy shares of five or six stocks, and you know what they are: Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Microsoft. If they buy enough of those shares for a short period of time, they can run the index up, and people go, man, I'm glad that's turning around.
Dodged a bullet there. Bad. Yep.
But it doesn't mean that the rest of the stock market is following. I mean, you have to do some mining the data to understand where investors are actually putting their money based on companies' profits. Because it's not the index. It's not illegal. I mean, it's their money. They can buy what they want. But what happens with this volatility that shows up is that investors begin to doubt their own process and they want to make changes unnecessarily. And one of those is, well, shouldn't we be doing something? Why aren't we doing something here? And sometimes sitting still and letting the short-term volatility work its way out is the right thing to do, but it's difficult to sit on your hands. It's just not satisfying. And it's a major mistake investors make. They don't have a process. So they're jumping
and they don't like to follow it. That's it. They're going to change. Even if your process is sound, even if you're doing exactly the right thing, so many investors, like you said, Don, it's like we got to do something. And doing something to them is better than doing nothing and letting the smoke clear and figuring out where to go. And quite often, that's just not true. But they don't have the patience, and it's fear. You get so afraid that your retirement a portfolio is going away and nobody's doing anything but watching it go away. And quite often that's not what's going on, that inaction is the most prudent course at that time, but it doesn't feel that way. So investors get very jumpy and they can't stay with the process. And when you jump from process to process, that ends up costing you in the short term and the long term. It's just not a good behavior to engage in.
Now, and as human beings, we have a tendency to be overconfident about our own abilities. Financial advisors are not exempt from that. I mean, that is the problem. If you're a frequent listener to our show, you know that I coach financial advisors, and so I'm speaking with financial advisors every week. And it amazes me when I ask, well, how did you make that decision? What was your process that caused you to buy or sell the issue at hand? It surprises me how many of them say, well, I just had this feeling it was going to be the right thing to do. Well, feeling is not a process.
You got to forget the tea leaves. That's not going to help. Yeah.
Believing in a company is not a process. I mean, I have a friend who has been a long-time investor in Tesla. and was really excited watching it go up in the last decade. And I talked to him yesterday. He called, and I said, "So are you still in Tesla?" He said, "Yes, I am. I believe in Elon Musk." Okay, but the stock's down 65% this year. Okay, so as long as I don't need the money, I'm not going to worry about that kind of loss. Well, that's a function of, would you be better off if you'd paid some tax and had more money right now to reinvest in even Tesla? But investors don't want to make that decision because they let tax decisions sometimes override capital management and risk management. You have to have rules to do that. And then, as you just said, Barry, you have to follow the rules even when it is uncomfortable, especially when it's uncomfortable.
That's when you know the rules are working. Yep. When you get uncomfortable, if your process is making you do something you're not comfortable in, that's probably the right thing to do. There's an old saying in investing, you know, if it's comfortable, it's probably not profitable. And that's true more times than not. We are up against our last break of the morning here. I'd like to remind everyone that we have our next market update webinar on the schedule for next Saturday, February 4th, 8:30 in the morning. And you can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. Just head to the webinar page and click that registration link and you will be good to go on February 4th. You can log in. You'll be live online with us, get some questions answered. Even about individual securities, it's a great time to get a second opinion. So, again, you can register for that at IRIradio.com. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Time of year we are waiting for the rain to be gone, and it would be nice to be able to see clearly what is going to happen when the Fed makes its announcement about the next interest rate hike.
Wouldn't that be fun?
And we just don't know whether they have a backbone, they're going to hold to last year's announcements, or if they're going to follow the Bank of Canada and be a little more tolerant and lenient towards the population and the finance arena. But I'm looking, one of the things that's really held the economy together is small business. Small business is the backbone of the country. I mean, we always talk about the large ones that are on the stock market, but most businesses are not listed stocks. They're not publicly held, but there is one privately held company that we would probably like to have owned last year, since its business was up 57%.
That's a good year.
Actually, sales jumped. Yeah, actually, the sales jumped 57% in 2020. I'm off a couple of years here. That's a really good year in a really bad year. And you say, well, give me some of that. I'm not sure you really want it. Do you want to invest in washboards? You know, those wooden frame things with corrugated steel going sideways down there that you stick in a big bucket and you scrub your laundry up and down. Well, in 2020 happened to have been a banner year for washboards.
We're not a big tracker of the washboard sector. I guess maybe we should be, but we don't really track washboards. But
but pandemic fears of societal collapse caused a lot of people to go buy them because apparently they thought their washing machines were not going to work. We would be out of power. But it's kind of a funny story. This company's been in business for a very, very long time, 128 years. Mm-hmm. And they actually did quite well until post-war prosperity showed up and people could afford automatic washing machines. And they got tired of scrubbing their knuckles to get their clothes clean.
That washboard didn't look so good anymore, right?
That's right. So back in the 40s, I mean, they were doing $1 million a year. And then right now they've got 4 employees who turn out about $11,000 a year in the basement of an old discount variety store. If you want one, hang on the wall for posterity. I mean, they sell for $27.49, so that's not that bad. But typically, when we are looking at bubbles, and there have been various bubbles in the last couple of years that have been collapsing. We watched the stock market collapse last year. The highly touted new asset class that was disconnected from the stock market and an inflation protector, cryptocurrency.
You betcha.
Has collapsed. And
boy,
apparently
has it.
It's not an inflation protector. And it's not disconnected from the stock market. It's also not disconnected from fraud.
If you think the stock market is manipulated, you find out crypto is very manipulated.
And that problem is not going to go away for some time. It'd probably take 10 years to clean it up. The SEC and the CTC, it's one, they don't have regulations for them. A lot of this stuff is overseas. You trade it online. You have absolutely no idea where there's any safety. And that was one of the attractions. Well, the government's not involved here. I mean, I'm isolated from the government. They can't see what I do. Until it collapses and you can't get your money back, and all of a sudden there's a lot of cries. Hey, Mr. Government, Uncle Sam, isn't it about time you get my money back for me?
Where's my regulation?
So typically people buy assets because they think they're going to make money with them, whether it's stocks, bonds, real estate, cryptos, commodities. A graphic picture created out of nothing and sold online for boku bucks. They only buy them because they think they're going to make money, or they want the prestige of being part of that social media group that just bought a picture that somebody made with a computer program.
You got to be one of the cool kids.
So, well, this is that's right. Before social media, money was a private matter. I mean, you not even discuss money with your spouse. And I do not support that. I mean, I have been with families as they transition through typically the widow, ending up with money management issues for herself because her husband just died. And he never let her know what needed to be done, much less where the accounts were.
Correct. That's a bad situation.
That's terrible. And it creates a great deal of fear, uncertainty, and significant potential credit problems. But you just mentioned being part of the crowd. I mean, this last year, we've watched people identifying with Tom Brady and Kevin O'Leary.
Sure.
Twitter presence. Gee, if they're doing it, it's got to be good. I'm gonna throw my fortune with them. Those weren't people who typically had a real background to do in-depth verification. Plus, they're getting paid for their promotional comments.
There you go. That's a big thing.
That wasn't always disclosed, seldom disclosed. We end up with things with pressure on Tesla stock. It's not as bad as it was with AMC or Bed Bath & Beyond, but people jump on a bandwagon because of what they see on social media without actually doing their own investigation into the finances of the company that they're buying. They're buying with belief or to be part of the crowd. Both of those are frequently mistakes, but if you win, you're going to think you're smart. The fact that you were lucky doesn't usually cross your mind. When it unwinds, and then somebody else is, we look for rationalization. We try to blame somebody else. But that's usually because there's a lack of process. And that's the one thing I teach financial advisors. That's what we use here at Investor Resources. We have process. You don't always get the results you want at the time you want because there are forces you cannot control. and you need a process to respond to changing conditions because the market does change. And one of the longer term changes in the market right now is this new dynamic of inflation and higher interest rates than we have had in a decade. And that should change the way you make decisions because the environment has been altered. But how does your process handle that? And if you're in a 60-40 portfolio, it's just basically sit still and take it. That's what the process is. In fact, one of my financial advisor discussions this week was a meeting with their management had called and said, why do you have any cash in your client's accounts? You can't hold cash. And you
it's
can't
not our
short
job.
The market.
Yeah.
Yeah, your job is just simply to get the people in the market. And the advisor says, you mean when the market's going down, we're supposed to just let them lose money and not take any action at all? And the answer is basically, yes, that's what you're supposed to do. If you don't want to do that, you might want to talk to us and certainly register for our webinar on next Saturday at 8:30. You can register at irradio.com. That's irradio.com. So this week we'll be working on an update for that because we finish them up typically on Friday just before we do the presentation so that the information is as current as we can make it. You will learn something. This is not a sales pitch. This is how to help you understand what's going on in the market. So register at irradio.com. We look forward to having you with us. You want to talk to us during the week, we have a toll-free number. It's 800-317-9119. 800-317-9119. Looks like we're out of time. So God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless the United States of America. Tune in next week.